Amen. Glory to God. Let the weight of your glory fall on us even this morning, Lord. Let the truth of your kingdom be revealed in us. Lord, oh, we worship you this morning. Cover us, O Lord. Let your river, let the presence of God flow even through us like a river this morning. Glory to God. Let us be carriers of that glory. We are not worthy. We are not worthy, Lord. But we submit ourselves even unto you this morning. We submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, look upon us this morning with your loving kindness. Look upon us with your grace. Look upon us, O Lord, with favor in the name of Jesus, that we may come into your presence, that we may partake, O Lord, even of the presence of the Lord, your awesome glory, your awesome presence. Lord, we stand in awe of you this morning. We stand in awe of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, this morning. Glory to God. Somebody ought to praise him here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we stand in awe of you this morning, here in your presence. Oh, may we set our eyes upon you, Lord, as we stand in awe of your presence. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, may you speak. Let our own words be few, but let your word be heard. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome presence of the Lord is with us this morning. Can you feel it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, because we lay down to sleep. And here we are. Woke up us this morning. You woke us up, Lord. We could not do it by our own strength. But it is a new day, the day which the Lord has made. Therefore, we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And this day will be subject to us. Yes, because we were not created for the day. The day was created for us. Therefore, let this day be subject unto us in all things. And may we also be subject to the Lord. We hold in nothing. We surrender all before you even on this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Fill us, oh God, through and through with your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I surrender. No, to you, everything I keep to you, withholding nothing, I surrender. No, to you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing. Lord, that's my prayer this morning. I surrender all to you, Lord. We hold in nothing. May that be our prayer here this morning, that you may have all. We give it all back to you, Lord, this morning. Everything that we ever had, all that we ever hoped to be, we owe it all to you and we give it all back to you. We cast our crowns, our achievements before you, Lord, this morning. They are nothing. They are nothing in your presence because you are all in all. Father, we stand in awe of you this morning. We worship you. We glorify you. Somebody ought to glorify him this morning and praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome. Good morning, everyone. The Lord is good. Amen. It's a good day. It's a new day. It's a great time. You know, I'm just feeling good. Praise God. Is it well with you this morning? Is it well with you? Come on in and let's praise the Lord together. Good morning, Raven. God bless you. Welcome, Sister Julia. Welcome, Statutilayo Grace and Pearl and Colorful. Welcome, honey. Good morning, everyone. Is it well with all of you this morning? Can you feel his presence? Can you feel the Spirit of God? Oh, yes. The Lord is good. In him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to have a powerful prayer session this morning. I want to make it a prayer session. But we will share the word just a little bit. I always like the word. The word always goes first, you know, because, you know, so we can see, we can base our, you know, prayers or whatever we're doing based on the word of God. That's always the thing. That's how to do it. The word goes first. As a matter of fact, does not the scripture say that? That thy word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet, but it is a light to the path ahead of me. So you shine the word to the path ahead of you, you know, and then move into that path. The word always goes first. Glory to God. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And let that light shine more and more unto a perfect day. Hallelujah. Yes, the steps of a righteous man are as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Are your steps shining more and more unto the perfect day? Are they shining more and more unto the perfect day? Yes, it is the saying of the Lord that our steps will shine more and more unto the perfect day. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just take a minute and praise him this morning. Praise him for his goodness. The scripture says, praise him everywhere. Praise him in the temple. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him whenever. The path of the righteous is as a shining light. A shining more and more unto a perfect day. That's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The ways of the righteous. Whew. Thank you, Lord. The path of the just is as a shining light. Shine it more and more unto the perfect day. May that be our case this morning and every day of our lives. You know, let our path be as the shining light. Let it shine even more and more, even unto the perfect day in the name of Jesus. Well, welcome, Sam. Good morning and good to see you. Here, we're going to get started right away. I want you to share the room, please. If you would, share the room on Clubhouse. Share the room to, you know, a few people here and there. See if they can join us. And we're going to get started right away. Glory to God. So today, I'm going to be talking about, this is one of our morning rooms, in case this is your first time. I'm not sure if there's anybody's first time, but in case. The morning room, you know, and the Lord commanded this room and he ordered it according to his own will. And we come in the beauties of holiness in the womb of the morning. And we pray that the Lord will make us willing in the day of his power. Psalm 110 and verse 3. Say, thy people, in order for us to experience his power, we got to be willing. But, you know, if it turns out that we are not willing, then we pray that the Lord will make us willing. And why can that be the case sometimes? Well, it is the case even most of the times because the Spirit is what's willing. But the flesh is unwilling. Flesh is weak. Flesh doesn't want to do it. You know, but by the grace of God, we will be willing in the day of his power, such as this, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. The Lord will command upon us the dew of youth. He will command upon us great things, even as it is this day, according to Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. So today we are going to be talking about vicarious faith. And we are going to use that in our prayer this morning. Well, what is that all about? Well, that means faith in the place of or on behalf of someone else. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to stand in the gap today. Not for ourselves exactly. We do that all the time. But today, it's going to be for somebody else. Glory to God. It could be for family. It could be for friends. It could be for children. It could be for whatever, you know, or whomever. You know, so, but let's take a few stories from the Bible and let's see how the faith of others worked. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And in these examples, we'll see, you know, how the Lord honored someone else's faith. So let's start here in the book of Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read from about verse 17 or so. So in this story, Jesus was in the house. And the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Even so much so that everybody, you know, was coming and going and all that. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Whew, I love that. The power of the Lord was present. Well, may the power of the Lord be present here today to heal bitter waters. In the name of Jesus, may the power of the Lord issue out from this place, even as a river. Glory to God. Wherever that river gets onto today, let it heal whatever it touches. There's a river that we're going to send out here by the grace of God. Well, actually, God does it. But it will issue out on account of our prayers. We saw that in Ezekiel 37. We've covered that before. Wherever that river gets to, it will heal whatever it touches. And there will be a great multitude of fish. But that's not my subject this morning. Let me get right back to this Luke chapter 5. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought a man in a bed, you know, which was taken with palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring in him and to lay him before the Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, there were so many people in there, they could not get through the crowd. Make way. Nobody was going to give way because everybody wanted to have a bird's eye view or whatever. They wanted to have an eyewitness view. They wanted to be right there. They wanted to be so close. They were hearing his teaching, seeing what he was doing. And these people could not get through. And because they could not get through, they went up on the housetop, we're told, and let him down through the roof or the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, let's just consider that for a minute. That was no small feat to do that. But let's say the house was even a bungalow, you know, and you got to climb up and you got to somehow, you know, get this stretcher or bed or whatever they're using to carry this guy. You got to get it up there. then you got to tear the roof, you know, and do all this. Now, this was no small feat what they had to do. And they, you know, they couldn't even care less if somebody was going to, you know, arrest them for breaking up someone else's house. It wasn't their house, but they were desperate. They were desperate. And they went up on the roof. Maybe they had to go get some rope. I don't know how long it took them to do this thing. But what, however long it took them, just imagine it in your minds. They did do it. Finally got him up on the roof. They might have made a couple of attempts. Maybe the first time they tried to do it, the thing slipped back out of their hands. They tried again. You know, this is not something people do every day, is carry a stretcher up on the roof. You know, so I'm sure, you know, they made a few attempts before they got it right. But somehow, they got it right. And when they got on the roof, they had to break up the roof, you know, and, you know, lower this man down gently. My goodness. Wow. And listen to what the next verse says. And when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man on the couch or the man on the stretcher. No, he saw their faith. It was their faith that he saw. The man was probably helpless, couldn't do anything, probably couldn't say anything, probably was out of it. We don't know. But it was the faith of his friends, whether they were family or friends, we don't know. But these people that brought him in had faith for him to be healed. And it wasn't even his faith that Jesus was referring to here. But when Jesus saw their faith, then he turned to the man. Hallelujah. And say, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Glory to God. Of course, you know, the Pharisees would challenge that because who is this man that forgiveth sin? I was speaking such blasphemy and so on. And Jesus said unto, why do you say these things in your heart? Which one is easier? Thy sins be forgiven thee or to say, rise up and walk? Well, I ask you today, those of you who are here, which is easier? Thy sins be forgiven thee to say that or to say, rise up and walk? Obviously, it's a whole lot easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, because we don't know. You know, it's not a physical thing that will happen. Whether the man's sins will be forgiven or not, we don't know. You can say it and just move on. But if you say in the presence of everybody, rise up and walk, and the person doesn't rise up and walk, then that's a harder thing to say. So Jesus said, look, I said the easy thing, which you guys are complaining about, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He now turns to the sick of the palsy and says the hard thing. Arise and take up thy bed and the couch and go into thine own house. And immediately, and I love that word, immediately, he rose up before them. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. But let's see how this miracle played out. It was the faith of his friends, or whoever those were, maybe members of his family, maybe his friends, whoever, you know, those that carried him, it was their faith that achieved this miracle. So that's why we call it vicarious faith. They were standing in the gap for someone else. They believed God for someone else. Sometimes we hide behind the fact that, oh, well, maybe the person is not believing. Well, maybe, maybe not. But you can believe on their behalf. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to be doing here this morning. We can believe on their behalf, and we will do exactly that. And there are a couple more stories. You know, there was a man, you know, who, you know, here in the story of Matthew chapter 8, we see this story that Jesus, the story of the centurion. Okay, so let me start from maybe verse 5. And as Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion unto him, beseeching him. What is a centurion? Well, he's a captain of 100. A battalion of 100 is a centurion. So, evidently a Roman soldier. And he's saying unto him, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, we've seen the case of a set of friends, maybe four people that carried that. In another place, he was born of four. You know, so we see that, you know, they were his friends or family. We don't know exactly the relationship. Here we see the relationship of a boss. This centurion, it was his servant that was sick. So there was this boss-servant relationship here. It wasn't even his son in this case. It was his servant. But he had compassion on this man and said, you know, came and asked the Lord to heal his servant. And the Lord said, I will come and heal him. Now, notice also the way that Jesus said that. I will come and heal him. Because that's what the guy was asking. Come, you know, the man was asking, he said, look, my servant is grievously ill, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Actually, initially, the man wasn't asking Jesus to come at all. He was just reporting the case. And when he said, I will come and heal him, the centurion said to the Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak that word only. And you know this story. And my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and my servant do this, and he doeth it. So this man used his own situation to analyze, you know, the power that Jesus must have. Because I, being a commander, when I can command people to do these things, they do it. So you, being a commander in the spirit, I know that you can give the word and it will be done. And the Bible says that Jesus marveled. You know, Jesus didn't always marvel. But in this case, he marveled. You know, that means he was impressed. You know, and he said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there are many that shall come out of the east and west and sit down and do all of these things, you know, and the kingdom children will be cast out, you know. And this man was not even a Jew, but he used tremendous faith to draw out the power of the Lord. But he was having faith for someone else. Was having faith for his servant in this case. And we don't know whether the servant had any faith or not. But this man had faith for his servant to be healed. And Jesus said, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So this is case number two that we've seen now of vicarious faith. People using their faith on behalf of somebody else. Whether that somebody else believed or not, did not even come into play here. Glory to God. So, I welcome everyone again into the room. Brother Benjamin, good to see you. Agbosa, good to see you. We're talking on vicarious faith this morning. Having faith in place of or on behalf of someone else. And we're going to do that in prayer shortly. We've seen the case of some friends that brought somebody on a stretcher to Jesus in Luke chapter 5, and because they couldn't get to him, they went up on the roof, tore the roof up, and let the man down in front of Christ. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, he healed that man. But it was their faith that he saw, not the man's faith. Now, we've seen the case of this centurion fellow who had faith for his servant to be healed. Now, you may have a co-worker. This is a co-worker situation here, the man or a boss versus somebody that worked for him. You know, it could be a business relationship, you know, that brought you together with somebody. You know, sometimes we think that Well, we cannot stand in the gap for such. We see here in the scriptures, you can stand in the gap for anybody. That's what we are doing today. Anybody at all. And especially when that person is incapacitated and they are, you know, in trouble. There are serious problems and they can't even pray. They're grievously ill, grievously tormented, about to give up the ghost. Or they're paralyzed, as we've seen. Or whatever the situation is. Let's look at a few more stories. You know, there's a case of a mother. And now these ones are, you know, coming closer to home now. There's a case of a mother that would beseech Jesus for her daughter. You know, so we know this story, right? We call her the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 15. And she came to the Lord. Let's pick it up from maybe verse 22 or so. And she comes to the Lord. There was a woman of Canaan. Came out of the coast and cried unto him and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." So this one is daughter. The other one were friends. The other one was a, you know, servant situation. Now it's a mother-daughter situation. And in each one of these cases, it wasn't the case of the person. I mean, it wasn't the faith of the person that was sick that got them healed. Was the faith of somebody else. So let's take a look at this story, which you all know. And Jesus at first wouldn't answer her. And the disciples beseeched him to send her away. And Jesus said, "Look, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, since you are not of the house of Israel, at this time I'm not sent to you. And she came and worshipped him. She wouldn't give up. And then the Lord said, "Look, I can't really take children's bread and give it to dogs right now, can I?" That's enough. If that's not enough to send the woman away, I mean, first he said he answered her not a word. You know, then he said to her, "I can't take what's children and give it to bread. I mean, to dogs." I mean, on and on and on. I mean, that's enough to discourage this woman. But this woman, her daughter is dying. She's not going to give up. She doesn't care what anybody says. She's going to get that miracle. And then she said to the Lord, well, you know, and then you have to wait. You have to watch what the Lord says to you and then latch on to whatever he says. So this woman was quick to latch on to, you know, she had, a spirit of understanding, quick to understand something here. She immediately took what the Lord said. Said, "Well, yep, true, Lord. You cannot give children's bread to dogs. But when the children are eating of the bread, the crumbs will fall to the ground from the table, and the dogs can eat the crumbs." Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said, "My goodness, great is thy faith." You know, this is the second time, you know, the centurion, he said, "I have not seen so great faith." And this woman also, "Great is thy faith." And he said, "Look, be it unto you as thou wilt." Same thing as the other man. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Now, again, this is vicarious faith in the place of somebody else. It wasn't the daughter herself, but it was the mother standing in the gap. So we've seen different relationships. How about a father? How about a father that brought his child, you know, to the disciples to be healed? It wasn't the child himself that was needed to be healed. I mean, that needed to be healed that was having faith. It was the father. We read that in Matthew chapter 17. Pick up the story from around verse 14. Of course, you know, in this story, Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration with three disciples. He came back, and the rest of them, you know, they were faced with, this situation, but they couldn't cast out the devil. So the man came you know, to Jesus and said, Lord, you know, the man said that came unto him, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Now, this is father's son now. For he's a lunatic and so vexed. He oftentimes falls into fire and often into the water. The devil is trying to kill this boy. And I besought, I brought him to thy disciples and they could not kill him. And Jesus, in the other cases, see how Jesus was impressed with faith. See in this case how Jesus was not impressed with praise. In fact, he was disappointed. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. These are his disciples. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And he rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And then, you know, of course, you know how the later on the disciples came and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? Well, you couldn't cast him out for many reasons. Jesus said, number one, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you should say unto this, he looked at the mountain there, you know, remove hence to yonder place and he shall remove and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How be it, you know, when I defended you that you didn't have to fast and pray as long as the bridegroom was with you, you all were happy and you all were eating and you didn't have to fast and pray. But I guarantee you some stuff you're going to have to fast and pray for. Remember the story of when Jesus, when the, you know, Pharisees and everybody, Jews came and accused him, say, yo, why is it that the disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisees and all these people fast, you know, and, but yours, they're always eating. And Jesus defended them and said, look, can the children of the, you know, bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? No. You know, but in the days when he'll be taken from them, then shall they fast in those days. So while Jesus was defending them, they were happy eating. But here comes a situation which they could not handle because they were not fasting. You know, so we see the importance of fasting here. Even though that's not our lesson today, I have to call it out because it's part of this story. Fasting and prayer is an important part of our spiritual walk with God. Now, God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's always doing that. You know, and sometimes when we talk about that, we are thinking of only intercessory prayer. You know, that stand in the gap. Intercessory prayer is good, but not only prayer. You can stand in the gap with your faith or get somebody else healed. We've seen four stories here already. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13 and verse 5, God is always looking for somebody to stand in the gap. You know, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the day of battle. So stand in battle in the day of the Lord. So he wants them, you know, to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22 will also tell you that if you look at Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, will tell us that as well. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, so, you know, God can answer your faith even when you stand on behalf of somebody else. Now, I'm sure everybody in this room today, you know, has a prayer need for somebody else. And good to see you, Sister Heather. I'm glad you are here. As I responded to your message yesterday, that we will be standing in the gap for our families today. So you be here. And I'm glad that you are here. You know, so you're going to stand in the gap for your daughter. Glory to God. And you're going to use your faith. Never mind, you know, we're not going to say, oh, you know, go tell your daughter that she needs to believe. Well, that's for another day. Today, you will use your faith for your daughter. Today, whoever you are that's in here, you're going to use your faith for somebody that you are believing God for. Never mind whether they are believing or not. You know, we hide behind that many times and say, well, the person is not believing. These stories that we have read right now, four of them at least, you know, we didn't see the case where Jesus was challenging the people whether the actual recipient of the miracle believed. You know, he didn't care about that. As long as somebody that was asking believed. So if you're the one that's asking and you believe, we're going to see the Lord do mighty things here in this room today. This is our room today. This is the call today. Every room as we come in here by the grace of God is different, but that's what we are doing today. Isaiah 62 and verse 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, you see, in this case, these watchmen are praying for Jerusalem. And it is not Jerusalem's faith that the Lord is going to hear. It is the faith of the watchmen that the Lord is going to hear. I mean, we can go on and on and on about this, you know, throughout the Bible. This principle is expressed, but sometimes we don't latch onto it. You know, even when we're praying for the sick believers, we are told, Jesus said, look, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands on the sick and the sick shall be healed. It's not talking about the sick believing anything, you know. It is you that you are believing. You will lay your hands on the sick and the sick shall be healed. That's it. You know, so let's not hide behind the fact that, oh, well, maybe the person didn't believe. But what about you? Did you believe? If your faith is strong enough, you can believe for the two of you. Glory to God. So, well, I do know that faith is important. There are also times when Jesus couldn't do miracles in some places because they did not believe. There was nobody standing in the gap for those people. You know, so, you know, it was just a case that those people were not believing, but there wasn't anybody believing for them. You know, so if somebody is believing for somebody else, you know, it's a one-on-one situation, right? One person is not believing, another person is believing. Why should God, you know, why should only the one that's not believing get the upper hand? Why not the one that's believing? You know, doesn't everybody say one with God is a majority? I mean, we say that all the time. But when it comes to things of faith, we don't use it. If you are the one that's believing, why is it that the person that is not believing, is their unbelief going to not make your prayer to be heard or make your prayer to not be heard? Why? You know, so those people, in the places where Jesus couldn't do miracles, they were not believing God, but there was nobody believing on their behalf. That's why Jesus could not do any miracles there. If there would have been somebody believing God on their behalf, Jesus would have still done the miracle. You know, so let's understand that today. Mark chapter 16 tells us, look, these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, when we go out, he wasn't talking about, you know, check to see if the person that you're laying hands on believes God. Nothing like that. He didn't say anything like that. I challenge you to show it to me in the scripture if he says that. You know, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16 and verse 17. You know, Jesus is talking about the person that believes, not the person that doesn't believe. You know, in my name, they shall cast out devils. The person they are casting the devils out from may or may not believe. Jesus didn't say anything about that. You know, they shall take up serpent, they shall drink any deadly thing and all of that. You know, here is all the things that Jesus is telling us to do. Cast out devils. I mean, do these things, you know, and lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. You know, he's not asking whether that sick person believes God first. You know, this is the thing. If you saw in the ministry of Jesus, he sometimes would heal them first before he would, you know, tell them, ask them anything. There is a story in, the one he healed in John chapter 5, the one, you know, I mean, John, you know, the one he healed in John chapter 5, the man with the case, 38 years that he was always coming, you know, and waiting for the steering of the pool and all of that, you know. And he healed the man first. Anyway, when he came to him and asked him, would you be made whole? And Jesus didn't ask whether, do you believe? No, that's not what Jesus said. Let's read the story. John chapter 5. There was a certain man there. You know, he says, you know, in the, you know, he said there was a great multitude of impotent folk. John chapter 5, verse 3. Blind, halt, without waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus said unto him, would you like to be made whole? Now, Jesus didn't say, do you have faith to be healed? Jesus didn't say that. You know, let's take note of this. Jesus didn't ask the man whether he had faith. All he said is, do you want to be healed? And the man said, what kind of question is that? You know, of course I want to be healed. I've been coming here all this time, trying to get in this water. When I, every time the angel moves, I'm trying to get in, but because of my situation, I can't get in fast enough. Somebody gets in ahead of me and gets a miracle. Of course I want to be healed. What do you mean, would you, I want to be healed? And the Lord said to me, look, forget the water, forget the angel. Today, it's not about that. I am right here. Take up thy bed and walk. My goodness. And immediately, verse 9, the man was made whole. I love that word, immediately. You know, and as the story went and so on and so forth, you know, so later on, Jesus found him in the temple in verse 14 and says to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. Now Jesus is now preaching to him. He didn't preach to him the first time. Just healed the man. You know, he healed the man right away. You know, then later on, he came back and preached to the guy, you know. So, you know, let's make sure we understand this principle. And this is a correction that the Lord is bringing, because the way we do things today, when it is time to pray for the sick, we preach and preach and preach to them and tell them, ask them if they believe up and down, you know, and then we have excuse to hide behind the fact that they don't believe, you know, so. Of course, the guy doesn't believe anything because he hasn't seen the power of God, you know, but miracles cannot be denied, you know, heal this man already and then ask him if he believes. Let's change our perspective. The culture of waiting until somebody believes before they can get a miracle. And let's begin to change that culture. You know, stand in the gap. Use your own faith. Don't worry about whether the person believes or not. We've seen enough stories here today to see, you know, that, you know, the Lord can answer, you know, your own faith. There's another story in John chapter 9. The man who was born blind, which the disciples asked Jesus, who was it that sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, look, in order that the works of God might be answered, I mean, made manifest in him. So Jesus told the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man came and washed, and he began to receive his sight. So the Pharisees started challenging him. Like, you can't do that. Of course, you know, you cannot, especially you can't do this on a Sabbath day and all of that. So finally, you know, after all said and done, after they asked him, they even asked his parents, they asked everything. Then Jesus, they cast this man out of the temple, if you read the whole story. Because, they were saying that, look, you know, who are you to tell us that this man was a man of God? He could not have been a man of God, you know, because he was doing a miracle on a Sabbath day, you know, and the man of God cannot break the word of God, you know, so, well. This man said, look, this is an incredible thing that this man is a sinner. We have not heard that anybody opened the eyes of the blind, but here he opened my eyes. If he were a sinner, God would not hear him. And it's cast him out. You were altogether born in sin. Now you're going to teach us. And they cast him out. We are Moses' disciple. If you want to be this man's disciple, that's your problem. Out of here. So they cast him out. So later on, the Bible says that Jesus found him in verse 35. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Now, Jesus is now asking him. Jesus already healed him. I want you guys, every one of us, let's pay attention to this. Jesus already healed the man. Okay? Now, he's now asking him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" I said, "Well," the man said, "well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" You see, now, Jesus has got his attention because he's received a miracle and he knows that this is the man that, you know, helped him get that miracle. Now, if you tell him something, he's more likely to believe now. Now, if we tell them, if we try to get them to believe and you can't show them the power of God, they may not believe anything. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, in the, so you see that this, Jesus now said to him, "Look, you've seen him and he's talking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now look at the sequence of events here. It wasn't, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" first, that Jesus said when he saw this man. He didn't say that. I just healed the man. Told him what to do, that the man might receive his healing. And the man, when he received his healing, afterward, Jesus asked him if he believed. Now let's learn from these things. All these stories that we have read so far, there's not one place, not a single place where we see that that person to receive the miracle was first challenged to see whether they believe in order for them to receive the miracle. It was sufficient for somebody else's faith. And even in this case of this man, there was nobody in between him and Christ. It was just him and Christ. Christ just healed him anyway. The same thing with the man at the pool. You know, that was waiting for the stirring of the water. Christ healed him anyway. And later on, he preached to him. Same thing here. Healed him first, and then later preached to him. And do you know that miracles are so powerful like that? So powerful that, you know, the people, even the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, all the people that hated the new way, they couldn't do anything against the miracles. You know, when John and Peter healed a man that was, you know, in the temple in Acts chapter 3, and they, you know, they told them, "We don't want you to preach on in this name," and everything. There's nothing, you know, they said, "Well, you know, that a notable miracle has been done. There is nothing we can do about it." You know, so they can tell them not to preach, but this is a notable miracle and we cannot do anything about it. So they see that, you know, this is the way to walk, to bring attention to the power of God. Let's read this in Acts chapter 4, you know, verses 15 and 16. Now, prior to that, the story of healing the man and all of that and so on, you know, and when the religious people, you know, gathered them, they didn't want to, you know, Peter and John to be preaching the name of Jesus. But here's what they said. "And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." This is verse 14 of Acts chapter 4. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" That's it right there. You cannot deny miracles. You know, so that is the power of witness through miracles. It's more powerful than anything else. And when we tell people, "Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?" You know, they may or may not believe, but, you know, if you walk a miracle for them, and then afterward, ask them if they believe, they are more likely to believe. You know, so this is the story and our lesson today. There's two sides to this lesson, and we are going to pray. The first side is using your faith on behalf of somebody else. That's called vicarious faith. Having faith on behalf or in place of somebody else. That's number one. It could be a family member. It could be a daughter. It could be a son. It could be a boss. It could be a co-worker. It could be a friend. It could be somebody, you know, a brother, a sister, whoever in the church, whomever, you know, we can stand the gap for somebody else, especially when they are incapacitated and they cannot believe. We've seen multiple stories here. The second thing that I'm calling out in this lesson today is that let us use our faith correctly and not hide behind the veil that somebody else is not believing. That's why they're not getting the miracle. You know, there is no requirement here in these stories that we have seen, even in Mark chapter 16, the commission to go out and heal the sick. Jesus didn't say, well, if those people believe, then they will be healed. He said, no, you lay hands on them and heal them. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's change the culture. Let's shake things up and let's believe God. Let's step out in faith and believe God. Don't worry about whether the person believes or not. You walk that miracle. We see the Sanhedrin here. You know, they said, look, you know, we don't want these people to preach in the name of Jesus, but what can we do? There's a notable miracle that has been done here, evidently before the people, and we cannot deny it. You know, so you see right there, you cannot deny, nobody can deny miracles, signs, and wonders. So, you know, and Jesus used that technique. First, heal the person, then come back and say, do you believe? And say, well, Lord, who is it that I might believe? Now they have a tendency to believe because they have received a miracle at your hands. And say, oh, well, you know, this God that you serve, well, you know, then, you know, their hearts begin to heal. But if we just meet them and tell them, do you believe on Jesus? They may or may not believe. We don't know that. But if we can walk a miracle, you know, in the name of the Lord for them in their life, they are more likely to believe. Now, let's go back to lesson number one, the two lessons today that I've covered. Lesson number one, stand in the gap for somebody today. Now, if that's you, here's what I want you to do. If that's you today and there is somebody that you are standing in the gap for, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to bring you to stage necessarily, but raise your hand and stand for that person and have that person's name on your lips. For you, Jan, for you, Heather, I know you're standing for your daughter, Janae. I don't know if that's how to say her name, as you told me yesterday. And I said, come in the room today, because that's exactly what we are doing today. He's standing in the gap for somebody else. You are going to use your faith, not her faith, yours, to believe God. You know, so if that's you in here this morning, raise your hand or put it in the chat room, what you are believing God for, what you are standing for today, and we are going to pray. Now, I have given the lesson. I've shown from the word of God by evidence that cannot be refuted that God is able to answer vicarious faith on behalf of somebody else. I have shown it today by the number of cases that we've looked at in the Bible. So we have no excuse. No excuse now when you are believing God for somebody. And it's not just healing. You know, you may be believing for a situation that is out of your hands or something that is going to, you know, create a tragedy or problem or bring distress or sorrow, a situation, and you want God to remove it. You're believing for that person. You may be believing for your sons, your children. You may be believing for your daughter. You may be believing for your husband even, or your wife. It doesn't matter. You may be believing for a friend. You may be believing for a co-worker. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Glory to God. You know, so now, especially now, we're not talking about believing for them to be saved. You can't believe for somebody else to be saved. That's not what we're talking about. That can't happen. You can believe God and pray, but they must believe on the Lord Jesus themselves. So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking for them to receive a miracle. These are two separate things. You know, giving their lives to Christ, becoming converted into the kingdom of God, that's something else. But this is a gateway that can help them. This is an instrument. This is a catalyst that can move them in that direction when they receive a miracle, a notable miracle that cannot be denied. But so I'm not talking about believing for somebody else to be saved and thinking that your faith is going to save them. That's not what I'm talking about. But when somebody is in a crisis situation, as we've seen here, many situations where the daughter was grievously sick, needed to be healed, it was the mother that believed. We saw the case where the father believed for his son. We saw the case where the commander believed for his servant, even. He wasn't even a member of his household. It was a centurion. It was his servant. But he cared enough to believe for the servant. And he even said, look, you don't even need to come into my house. Just say the word. This man will be healed. I believe it. Because I've seen it happen. When I give command, people do it. So on and on and on and on. So that's where we are today. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to pray. Hallelujah. It is time for us to pray. I want you to pray wherever you are. Pray and believe God. And we're going to do this. Now, I did ask people to raise their hand or put it in the chat. And we're going to pray together over whatever it is that you are standing for. Glory to God. So, we're in the hour right now. We're in the hour. Who are you standing for? Who are you believing God for today? I mean, it's your faith that's going to bring the miracle for them. You know, not necessarily their faith. So that's the prayer that we're going to pray today. And that's the challenge that I want to give with us, to start thinking that way. You know, that we can actually believe God for somebody else. Glory to God. So, let us pray. Those of you who have your hands raised, Pearl, I see your hand is raised. Grace, I see your hand is raised. As I said, that I will not necessarily bring you to stage for that, but we're going to pray over it. You know, so, Titi Layo, I see that your hand is raised. You know, and I see that, Vero, your hand is raised. So all of you that have your hands raised, now you did not raise your hand to me, but you did raise your hand, you know, in response to what I said. You know, it is important to also, you know, respect the word of God. When the word of God gives a command, you know, if you align with it, then you get the result. When Jesus said, go and wash in the pool, if the man didn't do it, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have got it. You know, when Elisha said to Naaman, you know, go and dip yourself in this. The man didn't want to do it. His servant had to tell him that, look, he could have told you to do some great thing. You know, would you not have done it? He said, well, I thought the man would come out here and strike his hand over the place and heal the leper and all of that. He said, look, just do it already. You know, what do you have to lose? You know, so sometimes when we say these things, say, look, do this or do that. You know, don't worry in your heart whether doing it or doing that is going to work. Just do it. You know, so this morning, the protocol is raise your hand. We're going to believe God together. And here's what Jehoshaphat said in Second Chronicles 20 and 20. He said, look, believe the Lord, so shall ye be established. Believe also his servants, that you may prosper. And the Lord also says in the book of Isaiah chapter 44, you know, he says, look, I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars and also confirmeth my the word of my servant. You'll find that in Isaiah, you know, chapter 44. You know, let's read just a couple of verses there before I pray. Glory to God. Thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 44 and verse 24, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that treadeth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, and frustrated are tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, performeth the counsel of his messengers. So praise God. Well, you know, let the Lord perform the word of his servant this morning, that the Lord may do that which he has spoken with his mouth. Let the hand of the Lord verify it. Let the word of God be verified in the lives of those that raise their hands this morning, that you have spoken the word by my mouth today. We have spoken that truth. And if we have spoken the truth in the name of the Lord, let the word of God be verified in the lives of those today who have raised their hands. There are things that they are believing you for here this morning. Let it be fulfilled. Whether they are standing God for a daughter, for a son, for a spouse, for a niece, for a nephew, for a grandson, for whomever. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look upon the hearts of your people this morning who believe you and who have believed your word, but they respond to it by raising their hand. They have spoken your word and they have believed it. Jesus said, look, Father, I have declared to them thy name and they have believed you. They have believed that I came from you. Now he prayed for them because of that. I pray for those who have believed this word this morning, that as we stand in that gap right here today, God will make a change in that situation. Hallelujah. He will bring a change to that story. He will bring a change to that situation. Glory to God. Call up, oh, I see your hand is up as well. Mfon, I see your hand is up. Michelle, I see your hand is up. And Igbosa, I see your hand is up. Everybody whose hands are up this morning, you have raised your hand to the Lord. And you didn't raise your hand to me. Heather, I see your hand is up also. Every one of you, and Pearl, all of you, your hands are up. Glory to God. So, your hands are up. You believe the word. That's why you raise your hand. And God is going to demonstrate to you his ability to perform with his hand what his mouth has spoken. Now, may the word of the Lord be performed even in your life today. That thing that you are believing God for, just like the Bible says, when he saw their faith, then he says to the one of the palsy. Now, I'm going to ask my wife. I know she has a few minutes left before she goes to our other room. Go ahead, honey, and let's pray and believe God over all these hands. Let's believe God together.
Amen. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, for again this morning we have come, Lord, to your presence. Lord, we are here, oh Lord, to receive your word and your blessings. Lord, in heaven, we magnify you. We thank you because there is nothing that you cannot do. And Lord, you have seen even the hearts of your people. You have seen their desires. You have seen their request. Lord, you say, if you ask anything in my name, Lord, you say you will do it. We're asking in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you meet each and every one that has hands are raised in the desires of their hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the things that they're asking you for, Lord, in the unspoken request, Father, Lord, in any issue, Lord, that there may be, you say, if they raise their hands, even in this place, say, then will I, Lord, heal? Will I touch even every need that they have? Father, they have raised their hands unto the Lord. Father, we have raised unto you. that unto you shall the hands of the people be raised. Lord, Father, we look unto you for our healing. Look unto you for our needs, O Lord. Everything that we need, you are the one that fulfill the desires of every living thing. We pray that you fulfill our desires this morning and the desires of your children that have come to raise their hands this morning. And unto you, O Lord, we pray that you bless them with joy and happiness, that they would testify of the goodness of the Lord. Lord, even as they have received this morning, even as the man of God has spoken this morning, so shall they receive the blessing of God. Lord, that you come it and added no sorrow to it, O Lord. You say your blessings, Lord, come, and there is no sorrow. Therefore, blessing will be upon their going out. When they rise up, they will be blessed. When they sit down, they will be blessed. When they go out, they will be blessed. They will be blessed in every situation that they put their hands into, will be blessed. You will bless the work of their hands, O Lord. Father, you bless their bread and their water. In the name of Jesus. And you give them victory in every area of their life. We thank you, Lord, and their children, Lord. Father, you bless their children. You bless all our children together in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, anyone that is looking unto you for the fruit of the womb, Lord, you will bless also because you are the creator of the heavens and earth. You form babies in the womb. You are the one that does it all. Father, is there anything that is too hard that you cannot do? Lord, there is nothing. You parted even the Red Sea. Lord, you let heaps of water form on both sides, and the people of Israel pass through. So shall you form even heaps of water in the Red Sea that we're in right now. Anyone that is in the Red Sea, Lord, let there be the heaps of water be formed and let them pass through on dry ground in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you're a miracle working God. You are the deliverer. You are the healer. You are everything that we need. We bless your name this morning. We give you glory and honor and power and adoration. Let your name be praised in all the earth and in all that we do today. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you. Amen. And I will see you guys later. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anne, for that. And enjoy your declaration room. The Lord be with you there. And I want to say to everyone that raised their hand, every one of you, I want to say this as I call out your name in agreement with my wife, Kolapo, Grace, Titi Layo, Heather, Veronica, Mfon, Pearl, and Michelle, and Egbosa. You raise your hand. If I can see your hands, God can see your hands even much more. He can see not only your hands, he can see your hearts. Hallelujah. And I have only spoken the word of the Lord this morning, but the Lord is the one, you know, that's going to bring it to pass. So, you know, it is done. Whatever it is that you were praying for today, that you are believing God for, some of you put it in the chat room, some of you just, you know, in your heart, whichever it was, you know, I've looked at it, God has seen it, and it is done. Now, what we want you to do is rejoice and just worship the Lord and just praise him and go in the victory of the same. And then you come back and give testimony. When you get that thing, you know, a specific thing, we're not just doing some random thing today. We're not just saying, Lord, bless me. That's not specific because you won't know what it is. We're looking for specific things today. And especially when you are standing for somebody else, because that's the prayer today. It's not just about myself today. It's a vicarious faith on behalf of some other situation. Hallelujah. So that situation, when the glory of God is revealed, when God turns those bitter waters so sweet, when God changes that story, whatever it is, when God heals that person or whatever, you come back and you give glory to God. So that we all may be edified. Now, I am going to cancel the hand raising. I hope I can do this right. Cancel the hand raising. Then I'll see if that works. Yeah, okay, it did work. Now I'm going to turn it on again. I know Pearl had to tell me last time I didn't do it right. Thank you, Pearl, for that. So I cancel the hand raising. We are done with the prayer. Yeah, those of you that raise your hand. I'm going to turn the hand raising on again now for you to come and give your comments and reaction to the message. So the hand raising for prayer is on. If you raise your hand now, it is because you want to say something. So come and say something now. This is a new set of hand raising. Pearl, I see that your hand is up. I'm going to invite you to come and speak. Give your reaction to what you have heard today. Glory to God. Welcome, Pearl. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. I am just so happy. I'm so grateful. And I just give glory to God. I sometimes, my mind is just blown. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I guess I wasn't a very deep Christian. You know, I tried to walk alongside God, but I've learned so much this year, and even especially through this room. Sometimes I just wonder, who am I that God is mindful of me, that he hears my prayers, my pleas? I want to be selfish and say that this room was for me, but I know it wasn't just for me. It was for other people in here. I've had a friend who has had ravaging, crazy cancer. She had it a few years ago, and I read the operative note. I'm in the medical field, and I read a lot of operative notes, but that operative note terrified me. When I read it, it was pages long. I'd never seen such a long operative note. And, you know, just taking care of her and trying to have faith, but I really didn't have faith in the back of my mind. And God has to help me with this. Years ago, in the back of my mind, I was just waiting. I was like, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. And God forgive me. I didn't have much faith. After reading that note, I was just terrified. Sure enough, it came back. And for this past year, I've been praying for her, but just thinking, God, she doesn't even believe. She has no faith. God, she has so much pain and bitterness and hopelessness. I'm praying for her, but also hopeless in my prayer, but still praying. So I just thank God. Yesterday, I was praying for her, and I had to go see her. And before I went there, I just prayed. I said, God, please give me an opportunity to talk to her. Sure enough, the opportunity came. Surprisingly. And when it came, it didn't even occur to me. Things were happening without me realizing it. And then, you know, I said, you know what, do you mind if I call someone to pray for you? And so I called this man of God to pray for her. And he prayed for her. And he told me, he said, I was going to tell you before you went over there that God wants to heal her. And so he prayed, and he prayed this prayer for total healing. Now I was just like, okay. But you know, God had to deal with me in my heart. God can do anything. And he just kept saying, I'm sure you will be healed. I'm sure you'll be healed. And I just started to try to, sometimes I put my head over my heart, and I had to say no. I had to just put faith ahead of it. So I decided to believe. After all, I prayed for God to give me an opportunity to pray with her. She's usually not that open. God opened a way. I was able to get somebody to pray for her. And I was just trying my best, muster up a mustard seed of faith to believe throughout the night, throughout, you know, yesterday. And lo and behold, God just presented this word. And I just want to say, I am just so grateful. Pastor Yata, I thank you so much for being so obedient. I can't even believe this. I'm just so happy, and I'm trusting God, and I'm hanging on to this word. You know, I've been reading the Bible, and I've read all those stories, and it didn't occur to me that, you know, they don't necessarily have to believe in the beginning. Truly, if any of us had to really believe, you know, how many of us would have been saved and be where we are today? God just had mercy on us. He knows our limited capacity sometimes, and he allows others to stand in proxy for us. And I'm just so grateful. I thank God for this word. I thank God for her healing. And on top of that, I thank God for my son's tooth healing. And I thank God for my godmother's healing from cancer as well. And I give glory to God. My friend will be delivered from that mucousy appendix cancer that is spread. Last time they took out part of her omentum, part of her liver, her spleen, part of her colon, her reproductive organs, her her uterus, but I know God will heal her. And I just thank God. And I want you guys to please believe with me for my friend's healing. And I want to come back on this platform and give a testimony. Glory to God. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Amen. Wow. That is something, isn't it? Praise God. Well, before I give comment on that, Egbosan, I see your hand is up, and I'm sure it's not from the prayer time because I canceled all of that. And I'm trying to bring you up, but I don't know if it's working or not. So I have sent you an invite, and just click on that, you know, accept it to come to the stage. There we go. All right. Okay, well, you know, I see some of you on stage today who don't usually come, so I'm glad you did. I always love it when people come to stage, you know, so thank you, Pearl, for sharing that. Well, you know, the Lord is mindful of you. Don't say, who am I? You are his daughter, and he's mindful of you. So thank God that he's mindful of you. He's mindful of all of us. You know, and the Lord, you know, he cares about whatever it is we care about. Now, this word today, all you got to do, I'm going to tell you another story, Pearl. This one is just for you. Jesus gave an illustration here. He said, the kingdom of God is like and I've said it multiple times in this room, is like a seed which a man planted into the earth. And then the seed grows by itself. The earth brings forth of itself. And this man, he goes to bed, wakes up. He doesn't do anything about it. But the thing grows and brings up, you know, first, you know, the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. Now, there are two things in that story. One is, look, when you plant the seed in the earth, you leave it there. You don't go dig it up, bring it out of the earth again to see whether it's growing. You've already planted the thing already. Just leave it there. You know, if you go dig it up, you might destroy it and kill it. You know, when you pull out that tender seed, when it's just trying to bring out the roots, the tender root, you'll destroy it. So you leave it there. The earth is going to bring forth of itself. Now, what do you do instead? Well, you clear the things around it. Make sure it's got, you know, the sunshine can get to it. Water it, remove the weed. Those are the things that we can do, but not to the seed itself. You know, you do things around that, you know, and what do you do around that? You worship, you praise the Lord, you know, you say the word, you know, and you go on, but you don't touch that particular seed. The seed that you've sown today or yesterday for your friend about her healing, you don't touch that one. You leave that one alone. But you do other things. You begin to thank God. You begin to tell him how great he is. You begin to, you know, do these things. You begin to instruct your mind. You begin to take the word of God to separate between your spirit and your soul. We've taught that in this room. You know, the soul is where all those doubting and unbelief and up and down. One day you're sad. One day you're sorrowful. One day you are joyful. One day you believe. One day you don't. You know, all of that is in the soul. The spirit is constant. So you take the word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12, divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. When the soul is feeling like, well, I don't know if it's going to come back, leave that one alone. You latch onto the word of God with your spirit and you just praise God. You heard enough today to know that God is going, not only is he going to do it, has already done it, but it may be like first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn, you know. So, and again, sometimes we get impatient when God is doing something, but Jesus already explained it. The full corn doesn't come first, you know, it takes time. You know, it may be a little thing. It may be like a little cloud in the sky at first before you get the torrential rain, you know, but whatever it is going to be because it's the word of God. And God does these things to give glory to his name, not, you know, not to give glory to any man. He does these things and also to show us that, look, if we can only believe, we would see the glory of God. So God bless you, Pearl. You know, it is there. Just believe God and praise him. Well, welcome to the stage. It's good to see you. You have the stage and you can release your mic and speak. God bless you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Pastor Yato. Thank you, Pearl, for sharing. I mean, while you were sharing, a song came to my mind. Thank you for loving us too much. all unconditionally. Thank you for loving us too much. Oh, well, I want to thank God for bringing me here today. I've not even been on Clubhouse for a very long while. And I did not know that I was suffering from depression. So I've been diagnosed with depression. I give God the glory. Bible says in everything, give him thanks. If I didn't call for help, only God knows what would have happened. And so currently, my son is not with me. The government has taken him away from me. He's 4 years old until I'm certified okay. So I want to thank God. I want to thank God for bringing me back into his presence, because the Bible says that in his presence there is fullness of joy. And I want to thank you, Pastor Yato, for asking us to stand in the gap. So while you were praying, I said I was going to stand in the gap for my son. He has speech delay and developmental delay. So thank you so much. And I want to encourage everyone here, as much as you can, please come to this club, this room. This is where I always get blessed, and I'm happy to be here today. And I'm praying, my prayer is that God will keep me coming back and not fall into depression. I'm currently taking my medication, and I know that it is well with me. Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity. Thank you.
Amen and amen and amen. And listen, you know, the Bible says of Jesus in the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 61, which Jesus himself, he went to the temple in Luke chapter 4 and found a place where it was written of him and began to declare the same things. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. That's depression. You know, so he can do it, because this was a part of his, you know, ministry. It was part of his profile. You know, it was part of his mandate. And that is what he came and did. Isaiah declared it. He went to the temple. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah and he read it. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So thank God for, you know, the medical help that you've gotten. The Lord will finish that work. In fact, he will cut it short in righteousness. You won't have to be on that medication for the rest of your life. I pray for you even today, according to the Spirit of the gracious Lord that was declared with power when Jesus went into that temple, to say it is fulfilled in our ears, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to heal depression, to heal the brokenhearted. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, your daughter is here. And I thank you for restoring her mind. Glory to God. I thank you for restoring her soul, and restoring her spirit. And the Lord makes you every whit whole. And I pray, Lord, that you give her wisdom and give her the grace. And praising the Lord is an incredible weapon that will fight those demon powers. They will not be able to overcome you if you know how to praise the Lord. So, Lord, we also thank you for her son. Two prayers that I heard today. She was the son taken from her until she could be certified. Okay. Well, the Lord says, I am the Lord and I will restore. Glory to God. And there is nothing more that can, you know, create even greater depression than your son to be taken from you. But the Lord is on your side and you will be united, glory to God, with your son, not too far distant future. The Lord will clear. I declare for you that your mind is clear. Glory to God. And I declare the grace of God upon your son, that speech delay, whatever it is that's in there, you know, multiple miracles is what you are getting today. Multiple miracles. You get a miracle for yourself. You get a miracle for your son. You get the miracle of rejoining your son. God is doing all of that for you. Multiple miracles. And he will bring them to pass. One after the other. You will see it. And you will know that it is the Lord. And even others will see it. And they will say, wow, you know, what the Lord has done. And it reminds me of this song that says, you know, that What we've waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. See
what the Lord has done.
Yes. That's going to be your song.
Amen. See, and I will sing it.
What we've
waited for
has
come to pass.
See
what the Lord has done.
That's your song, Mufan. That's your song. You sing that song, it'll be your song. The Lord will become your song even. He said, the Lord is my salvation and it's become my song. That will be your song. You will sing it. Your mind is clear. Your mind is free. You will be certified clear because the Lord already certified you clear. Hallelujah. And you will gain your son back and he himself will be healed. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, and this is what I strongly believe, that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. And this river is flowing today. And everywhere it gets to, the Bible says that when it gets there, everything that it touches shall be healed. Because this river is coming from God. You know, the river is mighty, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever these rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed. Glory to God. And everything that live, whither the river shall come. So this river is flowing through this room today. It's touching your life in fun. It's touching your mind. Your mind will be restored completely. And it's being restored already. And you can feel it. And your son will come back to you. You know, the gates shall be opened. God cutting asunder the gates of brass, breaking in pieces the bars of iron. All the bars that are holding you back from being reunited with your son, even the government. The Bible says that the Lord taketh the base things of the earth to confound the great and mighty. God will show his hand and he will give you favor. Favor before man, favor before God, and you will be reunited with your son. And you come back and give the Lord the praise. But in the meantime, you be praising the Lord. As a matter of fact, I want to send you a writing that will help you. You know, so ping me in the something where I can send it to you, or send your email to my wife. Send it to my wife. We'll send you something, you know, that will help you, you know, show you how to praise the Lord to victory. Glory to God. You know, so we want to do that. And you will be blessed beyond measure. You know, any of these things, you know, will not have victory over you as long as you know how to praise the Lord in confidence. It's a powerful writing that I will send you about that. The power of praise that can get you through depression and anything else. And the power of praise to break all the bands of wickedness around you, around your family. And thank God that you came into this room today. We give God the praise and give God the glory on your behalf. You know, so my wife is back on stage. You can see her there. Go ahead and send her your email. That's Lady Ebon. We'll send her scroll 70. And, you know, when she reads it, I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to her. All right. Thank you for sharing. Egbosa, welcome. God bless you. All right. While he's figuring out how to speak, let me go to my wife first, because she has to, again, drop in a few minutes for another line. So, honey, you're there. You go first.
Amen. Amen. The Lord meets all our needs. This morning, I thank God for this prayer room today, for healing, for meeting every need and desires that we have today, and touching every need. There's nothing that is too small that it cannot touch. And there's nothing that is too big that it cannot touch. So I just thank God for the blessing that we receive today. It is permanent in Jesus' name. It is permanent in my life, in the life of my children, in the life of my family. It is permanent in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for this room. I thank God for all the prayers and all the words of affirmation and confirmation that we receive in this room. God bless you. Amen. I use my mic.
Amen. And I say amen to that. And listen, you know, the every one of us that's in here today, you know, be encouraged that this is not just drama. This is reality. This is the reality of the kingdom. You know, this is what God has given us, the things that are freely given to us of God. And we're stepping into these things. Jesus said, look, you know, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the Lord is giving us these things, you know, so let us rejoice in them, you know, and let us trust that the Lord, you know, will watch over his word, you know, to perform it. He will do it too. So the Lord watches over his word to perform it. And it's his pleasure. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32 says, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He rejoices to give it to us, and he rejoices to do these things. And you know, God will not tell us, I mean, God is not a teaser, you know, to just tease us, say, hey, come get it. And then when you get it, then he pull it away. No, he doesn't do that. You know, God doesn't tell us to pray about anything that he doesn't want to give us. He won't let us to ask if he doesn't want to give it to us. So let's be encouraged that, you know, the Lord is doing that for us today, everything that we've asked. Well, let me see if Egbosa has figured out how to use this mic. You can tap on your mic button and release it, then you can speak. You see that little mic button next to you there at the bottom? You know, just tap on that.
Hi, God bless you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
All right, good morning, everyone. God bless everyone on this prayer line. Pastor Jato, thank you so much for your word that came forth this morning. It was a word in season. Nothing happens in the life of a believer by accident. You know, God line up everything. It doesn't happen by accident. Your word that came forth this morning, I was waiting for this word to come up since yesterday, or as soon as I came back home from my part-time job, and I was thinking about you. I was like, is the prayer room going to be open this morning? Because I don't have your schedule. And then as soon as I got up this morning, and then I just wanted to tap in, and you were there. And that was exactly the message I was expecting. And then we thank God. We thank God for his word that came forth this morning. The last time I was in this prayer room, I told you I was I'm a public school teacher in New York City. I'm from New York City. So as soon as I got home yesterday, my phone was ringing off the hook that my principal was under serious attack. She made the New York Post. She was on a headline on the New York Post. I was like, oh God, I got to pray for my principal. I really need to pray for my principal, because we are mandated to pray for those that have authority over us, so they can have the wisdom to make the right decisions, so we can live in peace. So I was like, God, I got to quickly pray for my principal. I don't know what to do. I don't want her to run into this problem. So if you know what it is for a woman of color to make the headline in a New York Post for something that doesn't even, something that's nothing, you know, they said she was unprofessional, rude to her boss. That's not enough to make the headline for, you know, it could be that she was just having a bad day. You know, it's a lot of pressure to be a principal of a school that's almost 1 million. And to be in that type of profession in New York City, which is really, really tough, you know, even me as a teacher, I know how difficult it is not to talk about someone that's the head of everybody. That's, you know, you make mistake anytime. You know, you make mistake. You're always going to make mistakes. So I quickly run to Romans chapter 8, where it says, you know, there's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, those that walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. So I just kept praying for my principal. I was like, God, I don't want this to happen to her. She's a grandmom. She has a lot of responsibility. You know, she can't step down. You know, they even went further on the news that, you know, they already have a petition going around and they already have about 200 people signed the petition for her to step down. I was like, no, this is not good. You know, she's been here for the last couple of years. You know, to me, she's very, very fair. And then, I was like, you know, this is not good. This is not going to happen. I got to stand in the gap for her, you know. So, and then when your word came forth this morning that we should stand in gap for someone, which is vicarious faith. So it was just the right word and it came at the right time. And then, so when I raised up my hand, even though I didn't mention her name, I didn't say what it was. She was the one I had in mind. And then, and I believe that, you know, that will be the end of it and she's going to remain. And then I believe God for this prayer and that everything is going to work out fine. And then Pastor Yato, thank you so much. Okay. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you did this morning. Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Osa. And listen, the scripture I read in Isaiah 44 goes right with that.
Yes.
The Lord frustrates the tokens.
Yes.
Of the liars.
Yes.
So all the tokens of lies concerning this woman, may they be frustrated.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Frustrated this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the grace of God give victory.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, you can look, I believe from what you said that it was a timely word. And
yes, it was. Yes.
Word.
Yes.
Because, you know, you don't need even, you just believe for her.
Yes. Yes.
Centurion believe for his servant.
Yes.
All these people believing for their friends.
Mm-hmm.
You believe for her today.
Yes.
Come in agreement with you. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now,
hallelujah.
This thing has been blown out of proportion.
Yes.
Know, we're hoping that the way you reported is the way it happened. It's been blown out of proportion. This woman did whatever it is she did. I mean, now they, you know, everybody, New York Post, I mean, they don't have anything better to do.
I know.
Because you're a woman of color and all of that. First,
yes.
They don't like you anyway. And then
yes.
Second, you're of color. You know, that's even worse. So now, Lord, we pray you
yes.
are the one that frustrates
yes.
the tokens of the liars.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says in Job chapter 5 and verse 12, that the Lord will frustrate the devices of the wicked.
Yes.
So that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let their devices be frustrated.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And the very paper that have printed this thing, if
yes.
it's untrue, will come back. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And print the correctness.
Yes.
And God will give this woman the favor and she will stand in victory in
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And as much as you are here in this room, I don't
yes.
think you will come up here and say what you said if you don't believe that she was, you know, being, you know, unjustly, you know,
yes.
persecuted. You know, so we are standing with you and believing that God will look. The Bible also says, and I quoted it already before you came up, that God takes these base things of this earth to
yes.
confound the wise and the mighty.
Yes.
The wise, the mighty, you know, New York folk, God will confound them by something simple.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for coming to share, Amen. To share your story. And for your benefit, this room is here every day, actually.
Okay.
You said you don't know if the room will open. Well, by the grace of God, we are here every day. Are you in New York?
Yeah, I live in New York. I'm from New York City, yes. The only thing is I live really early. You know, it's, you know, I kind of like, you know, kind of go there really early. I try to be in the building 1 hour before time, set up my classroom, kind of like look over my lesson plans for the day, look through my meetings and everything, you know, all the stuff. So I have to leave early. So sometimes I'm not able to come in on time, you know, stuff like that. And I know you are in Arizona and I believe you use a mountain time or West Coast time.
For you, it's actually 6:15 a.m. your time. It's 6:15 a.m. your time. So if you can make it, maybe when you are on the way driving into work or whatever,
okay.
you know, it'll be 6:15 a.m. your time. That's
okay.
when this will be open every day by the grace of God. And if you can't listen to it on a particular day, you can go back and listen to the replays.
The replay. Okay.
Yeah. For you, it'll be 6:15 a.m. your time. God bless you. Thank
God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Jato. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Praise God. Let me go to Heather. Heather, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I just want to give God praise. I want to give God glory. I thank God for here. This, I don't even know how I found here. I have no idea, but I just thank God for here. I just thank God for his word that is spoken that becomes so real in my life and everything that I go through. It just, like Sister Pearl has said, that it's like an on time. And like this gentleman just before me said, it's not a coincidence. He didn't say those words, not a coincidence, but I'm saying it's not a coincidence. God's plan. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy that I can be able to speak the word just continually. And it just does so much. I'm so grateful for that. Just hearing the word over and over again. And sometimes I do doze off because I myself am on so many different medications and different things that sometimes I do doze off, but I get fed with the word and I can go back. I can look. I take screenshots of some of the scriptures that, Sister Julia, Sister Pearl and your wife post, as you speak, and I'm able to reflect back and just ponder on those words. I just give God, praise. I give God glory. Sometimes I feel so undeserving of just that. I just rejoice knowing that I'm getting all that I need, that I feel that I need to receive for this particular moment, for this particular time of my life. Today, I thank God for the prayers that was brought up, for my daughter, Janae. My daughter, this is my eldest daughter. She's 26 and she's having some issues, at work where she can lose her job at this time. And she's the one that has been taking care. She had stepped up and stopped going to school when I got sick in 2019. So I'm praying to God for mercy for her. But sometimes I do have to speak the truth because sometimes the young people, I'll speak for my daughter, she would complain and complain and complain about her job. And she has a good job and she has a great position, you know, in leadership. And yet for all, she always complained and complained. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. And she was so ungrateful. I don't get enough pay. And I'm like, always tell her, be careful what you say. Be careful what you speak. Remember, you can't talk like that. And she knows the word. But she would just continually complain. And then after a while, I'm watching my daughter not attend church and not seek the Lord like I know she ought to. Well, that's in my opinion. I don't know what else, you know, she's doing. So let me not judge. Let me be careful with that. But I just felt that way personally. And I'm just trusting God that he, you know, his hands would be in this, you know, that his will be done because he knows ultimately what's best for all of us. What I'm asking God for is for him to work it out how he wants it to be worked out. Because I know that there's more that God has for her. I'm just trusting God and I pray that she receives a blessing in all of this because of her faithfulness to, you know, she put aside some things in her own life in order to help, you know, to help the family. So I'm asking God for his mercy for her. I'm also asking God for him to give her the right words and that she would speak the truth in everything, which I believe she would, you know, in everything, so that something good can be twisted out of all of this. Something good can come out from all of this. So I thank God. I thank God for your obedience, sir, for you and your wife, for your obedience, for your yes to this. I've been sharing this with other people, but I don't see any of them. A lot of people that I know do not, they do not really know anything much about Clubhouse. So I've been trying to show them, and I'm asking one of my friends today, before we go to church, if we could meet so that I can share some of this, because my friend Michelle is going through a lot right now. And I just want to say I thank God. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the songs even that is sung, that I'm just receiving so much from this. So I thank God for your obedience. I thank God for your yes. And I pray that we all will continue to walk uprightly and grow through this ministry. Thank you. God bless you all.
Amen. 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 Let me give you a point blank promise from the scriptures for your daughter, Janae. And then I will also speak a word about, you know, your marriage. In Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17, and I like this scripture, you know, for us to use when we are unsure where our children are with respect to their stand in the Lord. And first of all, God is going to show mercy for Jenny concerning her job. And as we believe God, because you have been in this room today and you have believed, and I did ask you, come to the room tomorrow, and you did, you know, so God is going to honor all of that, you know, so, you know, God will help her, you know, God will have mercy upon her, you know, on her behalf. You know, does she live with you? Does she live with you, Heather? Can you
answer? Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
So as long as she's under you still, you have the right to cancel any negative thing that she has said with her mouth. So, you know, just go ahead and cancel that. And God will have mercy upon her. It's hard to get a job these days, you know. So, you know, I don't know why people, when they have a job, why they complain, you know. I mean, people ought to be thankful. There are a lot of people that don't have work, you know. Mm-hmm. So when you have a job, be thankful, you know. So, you know, I pray for her even now, Lord, that you have mercy on Janae. And let her realize, you know, that you blessed her with this job. She has a position of leadership, and she can do some great things there. She can have good influence. And I pray, Lord, that you help her to be patient, help her to be thankful, and not to be rash with her mouth, not to speak rash things with her mouth. That you will give her also wisdom, you will give her understanding, and she will be truly thankful, and help her, Lord. You know, this thing that she's facing on her job, you know, let it pass. In Jesus' name, and give her the grace, you know, to, you know, calm down and to recognize the goodness of the Lord in her life, in the name of Jesus. On behalf, because her mom is here today, believing on her behalf, just like we've seen in the scriptures, Lord, you showed us those scriptures. So do it also in this case for Heather and for her daughter, Janae, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the scripture in Jeremiah 31 and 16 and 17. Jeremiah 31 verses 16 and 17 says, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine ears, eyes from tears, for your work," and I put in parentheses, "over these children, over Janae, over your children, shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again." She shall come again from the land of the enemy. Even if you think that's where she is, or you're not sure. "And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." Whew, glory to God.
Amen.
That is so powerful. So just take that scripture for yourself today. And I, you know, I hope things are going well for your marriage as well.
Yes.
I know several weeks ago you sent us a message about that.
God did something really, God is funny. God is so, he has such a sense of humor, but God has turned things around, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I say God has a sense of humor. God is such a great father.
Amen.
Such a good father. Yes. So things has gotten very well, positive in all way. So I thank God for that too.
I am so glad to hear it. You know, and for those of you who are here who don't know it, you know, my wife and I, we also have a husband and wife marriage ministry that we host. And if we can be a blessing in any way, shape or form to anybody, then that's a blessing to us. But we're called to be a blessing. So I'm thankful that things, and 22 years or something you said, right? How long have you been?
Yes, 22 years of marriage. And yeah. 26 years, together.
Uh-huh. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? You know, and why would someone throw all that away, you know, when the Lord can heal And so she received a blessing and things are getting better. And thank God for that. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, thank you for sharing. Like, it'll all work out for your daughter, you know, by the grace of God. Because this is this room. I had the Lord had given me this vicarious faith message for today before I saw your text.
Wow.
Which is why I said, be sure you are in the room tomorrow, because that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be standing on the behalf of people that we believe, I mean, that we love, and we're going to believe on their behalf. You know, so, yes, thank you for being here, and the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Grace, welcome to the stage.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what my voice is sounding like. I'm just getting over a cold, but I want to sing this song. So much has been going on, and I'm reminded of this song. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I've proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. The Lord has been good. We had a situation that we had an appointment. We supposed to have an appointment on Friday. And on our way to the appointment, this was what God dropped in my heart. Lord, I said, Lord, I only trust you for an answer of peace. We went for that appointment. You know, my mind was just at peace, and they said what they had to say, and we went home. I missed Clubhouse yesterday, and when I wanted to play the replay, I'm like, I saw the title, The Answer of Peace. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You have me in mind, Lord. And after the whole appointment, and there was a treatment plan and everything, and last night we were discussing about it, and I said to the family, I said, yeah, they have said what they had to say, but I know that for the Lord is able to do all things. We're going to go back there this week, and I know that the whole plan, whatever it is that they have to do, I just believe God for a miracle, that there will be no need to have that, that the everything that they plan to do, there will be no need for them to do it. That's just what I believe God for. And, you know, my mind was just at peace. I'm reminded of that verse in Isaiah 26 in verse 3 that says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusted in thee. I'm like, Lord, my trust is not just in you alone, but my faith is of God. My faith is God. I tell people, I'm like, I don't have faith in God, I have the faith of God. So when this morning I logged in again and says vicarious faith, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You definitely have me, my Father. So I'm here to testify that, Lord, I know this is just a confirmation. God is just confirming everything that he has put in my mind, and I'm singing again, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. I did not only stand in the gap for one person, I stood in the gap for many people that have a lot of things going on in their lives. And I'm coming back with testimony, just like Numbers 14 said, you have said, just as you have said it in my ears, so will I do it unto you. I stand upon that word, and I'm coming back with testimonies abounding to the glory and praise of the name of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Pastor Yaro. I don't say much, but I want to thank God for your life and for this ministry and for everyone that is here, believing God for whatever it is that you're believing God for. There is nothing impossible with God. Thank you. Thank you, my
man. Amen. 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 Whew. Well, you certainly don't say much, but you said a lot this morning, and I thank you for your participation in this room. You are here almost all the time when you can be here. And I actually know that day that you were not here. I noticed it, because when you're here, you post the scriptures just like Pearl does, just like my wife does. And I know Kalakba was here, and I'm like, where is Grace? I didn't say anything, but in my mind, my mind just reached out to you. And yes, the Lord is good. Definitely the answer of peace is with you. God has given it to you. You got it. And today, as you stood in the, you know, in here, the Lord has done it as well. You know, it is good for us to believe God. You know, that song that you sang, you know, good to trust in the Lord. It's so good to trust in the Lord. And, you know, your song also at the end of this all is going to be see what the Lord has done. Yes. You know, God is so good, you know, and, you know, sometimes the enemy will try to challenge that position, you know, but the Lord is good. You know, there was a sister that was in this room, I think the day we were talking about, you know, I don't know if it was the day we were doing the answer of peace or not, or whatever. And that same day she gave a testimony of how she always believed the word of God, you know, and so forth, you know. And, you know, and then the next thing we know, during that day, before we knew it, they had to rush out to the hospital, you know, for some unknown pain that suddenly developed. And when they called me, you know, we just prayed over the phone. I said, well, you know, just as suddenly as this thing came, so suddenly will it disappear. While she was waiting in the emergency room to be seen of the doctors, you know, the pain just suddenly left. you know, and then she and I remember when I prayed, I said, look, you will go home on your own, with your own feet, you know, because even though they had to rush her from to the ambulance from her job, so you're going to go home on your own feet. And she just got up, the pain just suddenly left. She said she'd never seen anything like that instant miracle, and the Lord did it. And she went, you know, and I said, look, the word of the Lord was tried, you know, because you believe the Lord, you will come out here and say, you always believe God and you always remind him of what he's done for you. And so that will be challenged. But she believed God again in that situation. And the Lord gave an answer of peace, you know, that, you know, and she didn't have to deal with that. She didn't have to deal with his surgery or whatever. We don't know what it would have turned into, you know, so the Lord gave you also an answer of peace in this dream. In fact, he already has by your declaration this morning. And I thank God for your life, Sister Grace, because yes, you are someone that's mindful of the word of God. You remember those scriptures in Numbers 14 that, you know, the Lord said that as you have spoken in my ears, and you are using those words to your own benefit. And, you know, this is what we try to do in this room. It's like, look, when we speak these words and we put those scriptures there, you know, people should try to remember them and use them for their benefit. This one is Numbers 14:28. As you have spoken in my ears, the Lord said, surely as I live, even so will I do unto you. So that's why it's important for us to always speak positive things. Just speak positive things, because you are speaking in his ears. And he said, I'll do it to you as you have spoken. So God bless you, Sister Grace. Yeah, we're looking forward to the full and complete testimony when you will come. And the Lord has already done it. Remember, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full cone. You know, it's a process, but he's done it already. And we may not get the full cone. This is for everybody. We may not get the full cone right away whenever we're praying for something. And God teaches us through nature. And I love the way Jesus used to talk to his disciples and the crowd. And I've often said that, look, Jesus always used simple words that people could relate to. You know, he would say, you know, like when he was talking about, you know, those that hear my words are like somebody who built his house upon the rock. He'll talk about rock. He'll talk about sun. He'll talk about rain. When he was talking about, you know, how to give good gifts to your children and knowing that God can do even better, he'll talk about bread and stone and fish and egg and scorpion and all that. I mean, when he was all the parables and talking the parable of the sower, you know, and when he was even saying that except a corn of wheat fall into ground and that, he was always using you know, natural words and simple things that people can understand, you know, things around nature, you know, corn, blade, this, that, and so on. You know, it didn't talk any great mysteries that people couldn't understand. What good is it, you know, if he spoke a great mystery that nobody could understand? In fact, he spoke to Nicodemus. One time when Nicodemus came to him by night, he said, look, if I have spoken to you earthly things and you don't understand, you know, how are you going to understand if I speak to you heavenly things? You know, and then he spoke one heavenly thing to him. You know, he said, look, you know, he said, listen to this. John 3 verse 12. This is Nicodemus, and this is just Jesus talking to him. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? John 10, when he was telling him about you must be born again. Verily I say unto you, we speak the things that we do know and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This is the reason why Jesus just used plain, simple words. But now he's going to tell him one heavenly thing right here in the next verse. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And that's Jesus on earth talking to Nicodemus right there and saying the Son of Man is in heaven. Now, you figure that out, he said to him. You know, but most of the times he just used simple words, you know, to tell us these things, you know, so. And the simplicity of believing the gospel, which is the simplicity of the song that Grace sang, is, oh, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. So take him at his word. You know, don't try to figure it out. Just take him at his word. Figuring it out is his business. Me, my role is to believe his word. Let him figure it out. You know, I mean, I can't figure it out. Who has been the Lord's instructor? Or, you know, I mean, you can't comprehend the mind of the Lord. You can't instruct him. You can't figure out how God can compute these things. You know, everything that enemy means for evil, God can compute them and turn them around for good. You know, and even when some, you know, strange thing happens to us, you know, God can take that situation and still turn it around for good. This is why we believe that it is, you know, what God has said, Romans 8 and 28. We know. Paul said he knows. Do you know? That's my challenge to people. Do you know that all things work together for good to them that love God? Do you love God? Now, as I often say, this is not all things working together for good to them that God loves. God loves everybody. But this is all things working together for good to them that love God. If you love God in his, you know, in your mind, and you keep his word, he will make the all things work together for you. It'll come back, even if it was evil initially, even if it was traumatic or stressful initially, it'll all come back to work for your good, because the word of God already said it, and so it is. So, I want to thank everyone that's in the room today. And I see your hand, Sister Julia. Let me bring you to the stage. And I'm looking in and hoping that I'm not missing anybody. And probably I'm going to make you a moderator. And you can see the hands as well. You know, so let's keep an eye and make sure we don't miss anybody. You know, so, Sister Julia, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. I didn't want to talk this morning. I wanted to give opportunity to other people. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I just listened and took in the word, and I was like, I'm just going to listen to replay. I'm not going to say anything. But as people were testifying and speaking, I feel led to say a few things. Mm-hmm. This vicarious faith, you know, because of the nature of my job, taking care of sick people daily, I have to have this kind of faith. I really thank God for the word this morning, because it has helped me to put things into better perspective. So I'm believing God for quite a few people this morning, thanking God for already healing them and doing wonderful work in their lives, and testimonies will come forth as these things begin to unfold. Yesterday, as I was driving to work after I left the room, a few things were going through my mind, and I'm thankful because God is so good. Even the thoughts of our mind sometimes get answered. You know, I was saying when I was going to myself, why don't a lot of people come on the stage to speak? You know, some of us, we speak because we like to talk quite a bit and we like to express ourselves in words. Some people don't. I know that because I married a man that does not like to talk too much. So I understand that. But as I was thinking about that, pondering, you know, the Spirit of God was saying, you know, it's good to share sometimes. And I was determined to say something about that on this stage, saying, you know, it's good for people to speak. I know that when the pastor is preaching, a lot of words come to us, the scriptures come to us, and God is ministering to us. And it's good sometimes to share. I am blessed this morning by the word that came and also by the testimonies of other people. And so, you know, Sister Grace, I'm so happy you came on stage today to speak, because the Bible says the testimonies, you know, those testimonies, they make wise the simple. So when people share, sometimes I know it puts you in a vulnerable position. You're talking and sometimes we don't want to talk. But when you speak, sometimes you're blessing others indirectly. I remember the day that Brother Elisha spoke here. The word he spoke rang through my mind the whole day, you know, and it was a blessing to me. So I'm just saying this to encourage people. You know, I know it's good to sit in the lounge and listen. But when God is nudging you to speak, please speak, because you might be depriving somebody else of a blessing. So speak when God moves on you to speak, and don't just hold it down. It's like when God is ministering to you to preach to somebody, you come across somebody and the Holy Spirit says, minister to them, give them a tract or share Jesus to them. And you just hold yourself and say, oh, no, I don't want to do it. It's a form of disobedience. So I'm just moved to encourage us to come on stage, especially sometimes the message goes for the preacher wants the feedback. He wants to hear how this word is working in our life. So I'm just here this morning to encourage people, come on stage and speak and bless us. Don't deprive us of that blessing. But overall, this morning, I'm so blessed, thanking God, believing God for a lot of people, some of my patients that are going through, that the Lord, even through this word, by the power of this sympathetic faith, I call it, this vicarious faith, this word that has been spoken this morning, it will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent it. I thank you, sir. Thanking God always for you, praying for you, for continued grace and strength. I thank God for this room. It has delivered me from a lot of things. It's like fetters are being broken in my life. The testimony and the prayer of Sister Mfon, I just want to piggyback on that. Because when I came to this room in the beginning, I was going through, I wouldn't call it depression, but I was down in my heart. I was kind of lost in trying to put some things in perspective, almost discouraged, I should say. Not depressed, discouraged. But the word of God that I hear daily from this place, this platform, has truly and totally delivered me from discouragement. I have joy. I have this peace. I have this anointing that just keeps flowing. So my sister that testified this morning, one of the things, the praises, the word of God, it breaks that fetter. It breaks that this depression and that spirit that wants to put you down. Just keep praising God. And I know you have a beautiful voice. He gave you that voice so you can sing to him and praise him. And he will deliver you through his word from every chain and everything and every, you know, depression. It will go. And we have prayed and continue to thank God for you. And I know that this word this morning is going to do what it was sent to do, and we will have plenty of testimonies. I'm going to yield my mic. I can go on and on. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma, and God bless everybody in this room, and have a wonderful day. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. And thank God for people like you that do like to talk. Yes, I know your husband very well. So, but thank God that you come out here to talk. And listen, when she was saying, when Sister Julia was saying that, we call her Buki, Sister Julia, when she was saying that, I thought of Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame that devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, so the word of their testimony, the word of your testimony is so powerful. You know, it's so powerful when you are out there. Not only does it help others, you know, like, you know, say that testimony of the Lord is sure. You know, it, you know, makes wise the simple. The law of the Lord is pure, converting, you know, the hearts of people and so forth. But the testimony of the Lord, but the own word of your testimony gives you victory over the devil, is what Revelation 12, 11 says. You know, so anytime that you can stand up, declare the word of God. Well, you know, of course, the enemy will try to fight it, but the Lord will watch over that word. And remember, greater is he that is with you than he, you know, inside you than he that is in the world. You don't need to worry about that. And even, you know, Elisha's servant, one time he woke him up and said, wow, master, you know, there are armies around us. What are we going to do? And the man of God said, don't worry about it. The people that are with us are more than they that are against us. He said, there's nobody here. What are you talking about? All I see here, there's, you know, people have come to arrest us. I don't see anybody. But you know, all this, you know, just you and me. And the man of God prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he will see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, my goodness, he saw chariots of fire. Woo! All around them on the mountain. And they were there all the time. He just didn't see it. The man of God saw it. He didn't see it. So, you know, look, I want us to know that there are more with us than against us. So when you speak the word, you know, sometimes the enemy will try to come against that word that you have spoken. But remember, there are more with you than there are against you. Psalm 68 verse 11 says, when God speaks the word through you, there are more that publish it. So the more you speak it, the more it is established. You know that, you know, so, and thank God for some of us who like to speak, not everybody, you know, all of us have different grace, but it is good to give, you know, share. And I, you know, I always love to, you know, I believe that, you know, when I speak in this room, God has spoken something to others that were engaged in the spirit while I was speaking. And there's something that, and I, most times when people come out here to speak, they bring out something, you know, that I didn't even bring out, you know, and that, you know, that improves or complements or, you know, the message, and we all learn from it. So thank you, Sister Julia, for encouraging us, you know, to do that. And, we thank God also for this app and the replay system that is there. I know when I first came on this app, they didn't have replays and I was always trying to record my own messages, for posterity. But now, you know, they have the replays. All you have to do is, as a matter of fact, when you create the room, the replay button is automatically on unless you turn it off. You know, so you can't even forget to turn it on unless you, specifically turn it off. So I thank God for that. And when you go back into replays, you can see all the, and I love that part too, that the whole, you know, the chat room remains visible. Even in the replays, you can see though, you know, those scriptures. Again, we thank everybody that's here today, everyone that's shared, and everybody that is here. And, Bridget, I see that you joined us. Welcome. God bless you. You know, it's been an amazing room this morning and we are about just closing out. Replays are on. You know, anybody who missed some or part of it, or all may listen to the replays. And by the grace of God, we will be back in the morning. Thank you for those who have been praying. Julia, Pearl, I know you're all praying for me. I appreciate it, Grace, all of you. You know, I don't want to keep saying it's not easy, but, you know, by the grace of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got to be positive. you know. So today when I woke up, normally I wake up before my alarm goes, you know, and I set my, believe it or not, I set my alarm at 3:15, which is a whole hour before this room starts. Because, you know, because I need to get my head in the game and all that. So, and usually I will get up sometimes 2:53, sometimes, you know, this and that, you know, before the alarm, you know. And today, it was the alarm that woke me up. That tells you how tired I was. You know, I've also been, you know, taking time out and seeking the Lord in fasting and so on. So usually, you know, I'm a little bit weaker when I do that. And in fact, the alarm went off, you know, the alarm was ringing and I wasn't doing anything. And my wife had to stretch her hand and tap me, you know, and the alarm is right there by my head. Actually, I have two of them just to make sure. I have the alarm that's right there by the bed. That one is easy. Turn it off and just go back to sleep, you know, but I have my phone a little ways away from the bed because now I have to get up and go and turn that one off. Because I've been known to just, you know, punch that alarm and go right back to bed. I've been known to do that. But, you know, so that's why I have two of them. You know, so if I just hit that one and it goes off, the other one keeps ringing. And I got to get up and go turn it off. By the time I walk from where the bed to where that thing is, then I know that, yeah, it is time. You know, but, you know, your prayers and the grace of God every day is keeping us going. And, you know, I find that my day is so engaged. I mean, like yesterday, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I got to do all these things, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, every day, as soon as you finish, you got to prepare for the next day. What is the Lord saying? You got to do this and you got to do that. And, yesterday I was also on a Zoom call in the night. I had to speak to the Philippines church because they are 15 hours ahead. So, we finished our marriage ministry room at, we started that one at 5 o'clock, finished it around 7:20. And I was trying to get out of that room because the other Zoom meeting was going to start at 7:30. And I had to go preach, you know, to the people of the Philippines and they were expecting that, you know, and then that's one's finished and I'm thinking of, look, I got a service in the morning. I got to do this and I got to the church. And it's like, oh my goodness. But the Lord is good. I went into a room yesterday and this is the last thing I'll say. And I learned something. One of my friends here, in the clubhouse. And it was one of these new features they called house that the clubhouse has started. So I was just exploring. I said, what is this house thing? I punched on it, and it turned out to be a friend's room, you know. He's a man of God. He's actually in the prophetic office. He's been to our room multiple times. But so I got in there, and they were saying some things. And he said something. He was talking about something that the Lord showed him. And he said that the Lord showed him many, many of God's children that died and were still full. And I didn't understand that at first. I said, full of what? You know, I said they were so full. Instead of being empty, they were still so full. But they died. And they were buried so full. And when he started to say it somehow, because I got into the room late, you know, they were already talking. But then I said, I understand what he's saying. And he was talking about this. What Sister Julia was just saying now, just reminding. This was just yesterday, yesterday evening. You know, and I said, Lord, you know, and he was talking about, look, we are so full of the thing that God put in us to pour out to the people of God, but we don't do it. And we carry it to the grave. And he said, God showed him that people were buried full instead of being empty. Because I thought, at first when he said that, I thought, how can you be full? And then when he started to explain the vision, I said, oh my goodness. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, if that's what that thing means, you know, I want to empty myself. Whatever it is that you put in me, let me deliver it. This was just yesterday, folks. Just yesterday evening, that I was in that room. I was saying, I don't want to go full. I don't want to be hanging on to anything that I should have delivered, you know, to God's people. Because, you know, then I will be liable for it, you know, so. Let's be encouraged, you know, to, you know, share. It's a beautiful thing. I know we have different grace for different things, but let's be encouraged. Thank you so much for all of you being here. We will be closing the room now. We have service in a bit. I gotta go get ready for that. And I'm sure some of you also who are in morning time zones may still be needing to go to the house of worship. Some have already concluded theirs. But be blessed and go in the grace and joy of the Lord from this room today. And let's come back tomorrow and let's see what the Lord will have for us. And God always has something good. And be sure that the Lord will be here, you know, waiting for us when we get here tomorrow. By the grace of God, He will keep us until then. Thank you, everyone, for being here. God bless you all. This room will now be closing. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Yes. Thank you, Victorious, for joining. And just looks like you came at the tail end. We're just closing the room. We've been here now, 2.5 hours already, you know, so we're closing the room and we got to go on. We got service to go prepare for here, the local assembly. So God bless everyone and check out the replays if you missed it. I think it was a powerful, powerful room. And I thank you, especially those of you that came to stage today. It was amazing. Most people don't come. They just stay in the listening lounge. But many people came today and said one thing or the other. And it was such a blessing. All the testimonies and declarations were such a blessing. So thank you for coming. And thank you always for being here. And have a great day, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow by the grace of God. Same time, 4:15 Arizona time. Nice and early. Grand rising, I call it. Get up and give Him your first fruits. That's right. And on the East Coast, it's 6:15. And everybody else can compute their time from there. In UK, it'll be 11:15, I believe. And for those who are in Nigeria, it may be 12:15 in the afternoon. So God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow. We're closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Blessings, everyone.